Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Born March 25th in Worcester, Massachusetts, he is a stand-up comedian who has built a career with such specials as No Refunds, Beer Hall Putsch, No Place Like Home, and Last of a Dying Breed, as well as writing such books as Digging Up Mother and This Is Not Fame. And you can keep up with his upcoming tour dates, as well as listen to his podcast through his website, DougStanhope.com. Please welcome, longtime friend of the show, Doug Stanhope.
Hey man, how have you been?
Good morning.
You all right? How have you been?
Oh, sorry. I was saying good morning while you were asking me how I've been. I've been in a very deep sleep. I was just coming out of some brothel with a buffalo in a dream when I get the call.
Well, I mean, how have you been over 2020, man? It's such a weird time. We're just talking about the thing you miss so much, and you don't even realize how much you depend on it. Live music, a live situation with sports or with comedians.
I thought you were going to say COVID. I miss COVID more than anything. COVID was the greatest year of my life. I get vaccinated. I can't even pretend I have COVID to get rid of people.
It's true. Well, then did you spin out and go on a road trip?
Yeah, well, so after I get the second vax, I had the car packed. Well, wait 2 weeks after your second vaccination. Yeah, I'll wait 2 weeks packing my car, right. And as soon as 2 weeks is up, I just went on the abandoned towns in the outback of Nevada. I did 3,200 miles in 10 days. So I was just driving the 7 or 8 hour stretches and listening to books on tape and just stopping in all these weird old mining towns. And
yeah, that sounds great. That sounds great. Now, were you by yourself?
Smoking in bars. Oh, yes. My God.
Right. Now, did you go by yourself?
Yeah. Yeah.
I did that once. I threw the dog in the Jeep and took off for 10 days and drove out to through Arizona and Utah and just looked around and just took a gazillion different photographs. But same thing, all by myself, just looking and then, sitting in weird places. Sometimes you'd talk to strangers, sometimes you wouldn't. But it was always, you see and hear so much more when you're by yourself.
Yeah, I took my dog on one of these. She's too old now, but... I remember it was a Christmas Eve where I had a friend over and his mother, and they were like the last guests on Christmas Eve. It's like 2 a.m. And at some point he said, he's a closeted gay kid. And I go, oh, come on, just give it up. Just tell your mother you're gay. He's like, do you think you're gay? Oh, yes. He said no. And I'm like, I woke up so ashamed that I outed this kid to his mother.
Oh, God damn.
That was not my... So I just jumped in the car and I drove to Winnemucca, Nevada with my dog, just stopping at every frozen high school football field along the way so she could take a dump. Sometimes putting physical distance between you and your shame.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that shame has to go in the rearview mirror. Let's drive.
It was a kid. Does he ever talk to you anymore? Like, how did it work out for him?
Oh, no, it did actually work out perfectly. Good. He's like, well, yeah, I guess. And I love you just for the... Oh. Yeah, it worked out, but it wasn't my place, and it's you know,
of course not.
Christmas morning, I wake up going, ah.
Oh, that's the worst.
How's dinner going to be?
We used to call that the apology tour, because you get up in the morning and realize, I got to go on the apology tour now.
or you throw your dog in the truck and
run
drive
away.
Far, far away.
Well, you know what? You come from this. This is so odd. To me, this is, you've come by this honestly. Like, after reading Digging Up Mother, a love story, his book, and if you have not read Doug Stanhope's book, this book, you should read it immediately. Because your mom had that vicious but funny sense of humor. Like, I mean, it's true, the things she would say. Like, you got married to that lady, Dory. You guys got kind of married, it just happened. It just, in some strange way. And then... she meets your mom, and your mom tells her that you cheated on everybody you've ever been with.
Yeah. Mother, and I fall into the same trap here and again. Well, I was just being honest. You know, she had the brutal honesty where you go, yeah, but you didn't have to be. But you didn't have to say.
Yeah.
It's like saying, telling someone they're ugly. I'm just being honest. Well, you mean? Well, you could have kept it to yourself.
Yeah.
If you weren't on the spot to lie.
I was laughing because I knew you were on the show today, so I was just going back to some of my things I've marked in the book that I love the stories. I didn't remember if we'd gotten to them. But your mom was so vicious and funny at the same time. Like when she'd make you guys go to AA meetings with her. And she'd go, the big Indian's going to talk tonight. You're going to love it. And she'd end up, but then you'd have to hear your mom's AA confessionals.
Yeah, that's where I'm sure I learned a lot of my, at least love for storytelling. Is like AA would have basically headliners. I almost said the F word already. Have I sworn yet?
Not yet, but I'm counting on it.
Oh, good.
He goes in and she starts telling the story about how she got so drunk she banged the cook, but he had a really small penis.
Yeah, that she didn't even know she had a tampon until she got home, sex with this guy in her car.
That's horrific.
Yeah, she had, see, this is that cat that's gonna. How do you shut this cat out of here? Because I'll throw it like a football. This is how I wake up.
Yeah, you poor bastard.
That's why I said, you know what? I can wake up at 5:45 my time to do Johnny Dare, because I've been waking up usually around 3 or 4 because this cat comes in. Wow! Wow!
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, back to Mother. Don't you have a producer that can look up my Twitter?
Yes. Sure, Jake. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Look for the tweet I tweeted for Mother's Day yesterday.
Oh.
Kelly Carlin, George Carlin's daughter, is a friend of mine. And she tweeted something really special about her mother. And I retweeted it with a quote about my mother.
No, I can't wait to read it. Yeah, I mean, you know, he helped his mother commit suicide.
She committed suicide. That's in the tweet. I know. There's quite a few tweets last night because I had a few cocktails.
Well, it's a heavy day for you, man, because it is one of the most loving things. And I'm so strangely conflicted, as everybody is who hears this story. Because what a wonderful thing to be there for her, but what a horrific thing to witness, but yet it's going to happen, so, you know, you have to push through it mentally. And what we're talking about is mom got emphysema, was dying, and she didn't want to go out crappy, so she decided she was going to have some more cocktails again.
She didn't want to go out like a COVID patient, which is how she was.
Yeah.
She was close to being intubated. She was, oxygen all the time, and it was a COVID death. When COVID started, I the first thing I bought on the Amazon was a helium tank.
He got himself a hat bag and a helium tank.
After 40 years of smoking,
I was a
comorbidity.
Yeah.
I would go out like mother.
You know what?
Rather than
she went out tough and on her own terms, man. She ate a whole bunch of pills and drank a bunch of White Russians. And the best was, as they were taking effect, he'd step back in the room and go, "Wait, Mom, don't do it. They've got a cure." And it's horrible, but you got to laugh.
She had a great sense of humor about it.
Yeah, man.
Finding this tweet, it's going to make me crazy.
To my mother, Bonnie, you were a crass, spiteful woman who lived in a...
Hang on. The setup is...
Okay.
It's in response to what Kelly Carlin wrote about her mother.
Right. And I don't have that. I don't have that beautiful one. I'll wait for Jake, because I've got him here for him. We'll come back to it. It was such a great, weirdo childhood.
She had this very sweet... To my mother, Brenda, this is George Carlin's daughter. To my mother, Brenda, you are my light, a warm lap, a fierce advocate. Your soul lives on in my creative voice, championing of others and my laugh. You are missed. And I wrote back, to my mother, Bonnie, you are a crass, spiteful woman who lived in a world of fear and indecision. When your time came, you took the way of a shamed samurai in the prescription age. You are where you need to be. But we did have some laughs, didn't we? # White Russians, # Mother's Day.
That's so fantastic.
I
can't
have that ready. I've been just fumbling through this interview trying to find this and just trying to see through gummy contact lenses.
No, dude.
Good morning, Johnny.
Good. Listen, I'm the prick who got you up this early, man. So look, I get it. If I had talent, I would sleep later too. Unfortunately, it's this or Home Depot for me. You come by all of your humor so, and that's what makes you such a great stand-up and a great observer. And that's what we've talked about before. It's just great comedy comes from a place of truth and honesty and an observational about society. And that's why we laugh at it, because sometimes it scares us. Sometimes it makes us laugh.
So the tweet before that, I said, I agreed to do morning terrestrial clean radio that I have to get up at 5:30 in the morning to do tomorrow with nothing to gain, promote, and no gigs in that market. I'm mining good karma like it's Bitcoin.
That's a fact, man. Well, it was so great because we talked to Greg last week from Ghost Ride. And, of course, I went to the Haunt Show this weekend, which was my first big outing. And, I mean, I felt like goddamn Magellan trolling down I-70 towards St. Louis. I couldn't have been more excited, giddy, and happy to get into a dirty hotel room. It was just...
It's great.
Yes, yes. And it was great to see them and hear that they're...
Yeah, you have like a weird whole haunted house thing going on in your backyard.
Well, we build it out in the front, but inside my house, everything... People came over at Halloween and they go, what do you do with this stuff the rest of the year? I'm like, what do you mean? What do I do with it? This isn't decoration. This is my house. And then we do the extra outside, but my inside of my house is, it's absurd. It has gotten weirder and weirder, man.
Yeah, I remember you showed me pictures. Did you get anything new this year?
Yeah. Oh yeah. No. Yeah. Ordered some stuff from Beastcraft. Props, nothing from Ghost Ride yet. I'm going to order off the compendium. Those guys are just swinging as hard as they can to get the real haunts stuff out because they've only got a limited time to get everything out. So I'm not going to put any more work on them until they cool up a little bit, and then I'm going to order my stuff. But it's go ahead.
He has haunted house stuff that is like movie quality,
oh,
special effects. And he had like a a dead like Asian girl that looked like a corpse. Like if you had that out and it wasn't Halloween, you'd have cops coming.
Oh, you know, there's one. You know that the Ghost Rider has that girl. She's in a hospital gown, and she's clutching her knees. She's sitting on her ass and clutching her knees, and her head's laying to the side. She has that hair. That's under the pedestal sink in my bathroom. So when you walk in to take a leak, it takes a second before you see it.
If you were going to make a zombie like that anyway and spend that kind of money, wouldn't you make it like a real doll?
Right, yeah. I mean, something in
it's there. It's one more extra little piece of detail. You go, you know what? I'm going to hump that zombie.
Right? Yeah, well, here's the funny thing. I did have to, as soon as I got it and unwrapped it, it was a gift. I looked at that hospital gown, and I couldn't stop it. I had to pull it to the side to see if she was wearing underwear, and she is. I know. It's a weird life, but it's your house is weird. Your house is like a goddamn carnival gone berserk.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't have any gadgets or dead Asian girls on the lawn, but yeah, well, I pick up stuff. I found this. I think it was Fresno, some city that was selling old parking meters on eBay. So I installed parking meters all up and down in front of my house. And I put a phone booth out there. Of course, doesn't work, but. I get a newspaper machine from the local newspaper.
Yes, I get goofy
stuff like that,
dude. That's the stuff that I love. I bought a 9-foot one of those like plastiform signs, like they would make the signs, the vacuum forms, and it was one of the last of the record stores, and it was Wascals with a W, and so their clever move was Wascals Records and Tapes. And I thought, hey, record stores are gone. I don't know what I'm going to do with this. I'm buying it for $200, and now I've got it. I don't know where it's going to go.
I love it.
But it's...
Anything 70s.
Yeah.
Well, of course, I wear the stupid suits. I had a mohawk for most of COVID, or a forehawk. It went from my bald spot to my hairline.
So you had like the misfits?
Then I dyed it red because, Greg Chaley and Tracy and Bingo, my crew, they all have colored hair. Bingo's turquoise and Tracy's orange and white and Chaley's bright yellow. I go, I want to be one of the crew. So I got this little stupid mohawk and dyed it red, which turned pink quickly. And I go, I'm going to have to get rid of this because I'm not giving up my 70s vintage used car salesman garb, and it doesn't work with a mohawk. So,
dude, you,
it's funny, all the things that you think about during COVID. You have time to work out what hairstyle does go with.
Yeah. How's it been with what are you going to do with work? Because obviously, look, that's as much as it's cool to have time to do something else with your head. You got to go back to work, right? This has to happen. So the podcast you can still do on the platform, which is incredible, but you're going to go back and it's going to be weird to come back and start doing show after show after show.
I have no idea how to do comedy anymore. I'm kind of as nervous as when I started. My first gig is August 20th. And I go, well, I got to go out before then and learn how to walk again.
Yeah.
But I'm not booking gigs because I haven't written any material and I don't have any deadline to write material. I don't have gigs, so why write material? You've got to write material. So,
are you the guy that needs the pressure of the upcoming gig? It has to happen. This show has already been booked. This special is going to be taped. And then it forces you into that mode of like, okay, now I got to focus down on this and that's got to get done.
Yeah, if I don't have a deadline, I'm not working. If I don't say yes when I'm drunk to doing your radio show, I'm not doing your radio show.
I get it. Listen,
and
I get
now
it.
I, as I'm drinking a cup of coffee and starting to smoke cigarettes, as soon as we hang up, I'm going to go, wow, now I'm in the mood to talk. I should have done this. I should have done this interview 15 minutes later. I should have done a fake interview with you and then started a great one afterwards.
I think this is great. Like for me, this is what I love about you. You
talk in the mood, yes.
You talk about anything and everything, and that's the key. I think with you, with Doug Stanhope, is you know, again, back to the book. That thing, I'll tell you, it is one of my favorite books ever read, only because the severity of the honesty, of realizing that the girl that's giving you a mouth hug is a dude when you reach down and feel her balls, and you think, that feels pretty good. I'm going to let him finish.
You're embellishing a little bit, but yeah, I've had a couple of encounters with women of a certain background.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't want to get into that whole like pronoun thing, but yeah, a couple of ladies that just had gear.
That's why I love it.
I mean, tap dancing around the whole FCC thing. Sure. Who is even offended by language anymore? Why is it FCC is as antiquated as some kind of vaudeville police?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
no.
Who out there is listening? That if I did slip up and you missed a 5-second delay, who's still out there that would be making a call about an offensive word? Who is that person? And if you are listening, if you are that person out there driving Timmy to school in your minivan, waiting to see if I say the wrong thing, I'm going to say this to you before you can turn off the radio. There's no such thing as Santa Claus. Timmy, there is no Santa Claus. Look at your mother. Look at her face in the rearview mirror and see her big fat lying mug and ask her mother, swear on my life as a Santa Claus, and see if she does it. She's a liar. I did drugs my whole life socially. I never had a problem. It always worked out well for me. I drink every day and I quit school, and that's what made me the person I am today. Drop out of school. They're doing nothing but teaching you how to be a hump and a drone working in an office for 8 hours a day. I didn't say a single swear word in that. But you have some explaining to do to Timmy.
Oh, it's so true. No, it's trust me. I've already hit my $250,000 fine. So I'm in a no tolerance zone right now. What do you do? I can't believe it's lasted this long, Doug. I'll be honest. At 28 years. And at this goddamn radio station, it is amazing to me that we're still allowed to do it. I just every time they send a check, and I mean this with all my heart, I kind of feel like I stole it. You know, it's because it's fun. What have I done today? I got my friend Doug Stanhope, who I'm a huge fan of. He woke up early so we could have a talk and other people could listen. That's not a hard job. It just isn't. There's nothing. There's no way to sell it to anybody. I know it's not a hard job. So it's insane.
And you know what? I love the money that you send me for doing these.
Yeah, right?
It's not a hard job for you,
right?
To get your friends to wake up at unnatural hours.
I know.
But really, I have been getting up because there is no time anymore. I mean, I'm going to have to get back into a different. I have a buddy that works remotely. But he's West Coast, but he works East Coast, so he has to get up. He's usually up at 4:30 in the morning anyway. And then his happy hour is 3:00. So I've been drinking. He comes to my place. We drink on the patio starting at 3:00. I'm hammered by 8:00. I go to bed, and then I wake up with his hours. Because what else am I going to do?
Right. Well, don't you feel like somehow you're being healthier because you started drinking earlier and you go to bed at a decent time, and somehow it makes you feel like you're like you almost went to the gym or something?
Yeah, I could start drinking at 3 a.m. and go to bed at 9 in the morning.
Yeah,
it wouldn't matter because what's time to a pig?
There's a time to be dainty and there's a time to be a pig.
Yes, that was Mother's last words. But you have to read the new book. Now you should have listened to the new book on Audible because it was Audible exclusive.
Oh, see, all these pricks that don't let me know.
It's the best one I've written by far.
Well, look, I'm going to get it today. I didn't even know it was on Audible.
Yeah, it was. I've been lazy about getting the hard copy put out, but yeah, it came out last year, Audible exclusive, and it's called No Encore for the Donkey.
Yeah, I'm in.
That would have made your road trip to St. Louis.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, listen, I'm not going to even wait for it. I'll just crank it out today. And so why is it just because of COVID and it's just the retail and just a big pain in the ass getting everything in order to put the book out, or what's the holdup?
No, they didn't. No, they gave me the offer.
Man, do it.
And they said Audible had exclusive rights for the first 6 months, and then I could put out the hard copy. But I really love this year, Johnny. I love doing nothing and having an excuse. I hadn't slept in the same bed since I was a teenager. I'm a 54-year-old man. I had not spent a year in the same bed since I was 17 years old.
Yeah, I got
this
you.
This has been incredible. I know where all my stuff is.
Right.
For a year, I've just tidied up, organized stuff that you don't ever do as a road comic. My sister-in-law was here. She said, "Do you have any Neosporin?" And I said, "Yes, I do. I knew exactly where my Neosporin was." That has never happened. I know this sounds completely... this might not be surprising to any listeners. Or Timmy, you know where the Neosporin is? Yes, because your mother just sits around waiting to call the FCC. And then tie you.
I can't wait to hear this book now. Now I'm gonna get this one and finish it up. And I hope you get to Kansas City soon. I know that you haven't booked a show since till August. But man, come here and do some warm up. Surprise it out. Jump in, get to the improv or something. And just man, we'll just come up with something special to do where we'll let a few people know and you can do some stuff and feel like you know it's up to you. But I'd love to see you do some stuff, man. I think it's gonna be fun for you to walk out on that stage now, because it has been a while since you've exercised that muscle, and it's going to take a second for it to the memory to come back.
And it'll also, at least for a while, not feel like drudgery, because right. After 30 years of touring, you just feel like a trucker, where, all right, yeah, I gotta get to Galveston and unload an hour of material.
Yeah,
drop it off and get to the next town. Now I'm gonna be like an open micer that paces around in the back alley, mumbling my set to myself.
Good, man. I think that's good. It's good for you.
Smoking like an expecting father in a maternity ward.
Dude, you sound awfully together though, man. I think that's great because you know. Like your lifestyle and the way your brain works and just that free flow of thought and maniacal ideas, when you don't have a base and you are out on the road all the time, that's what gets you into trouble, man. And that's what gets so far out of the venue, you know. A year to kind of get your head together, it might be the best thing that's ever happened to you.
Yeah, and get my head away from everything else.
Yeah,
it was like a year of meditation. It was beautiful.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, I love you, man. And I appreciate you getting up early. And I know it's a pain in the ass and it's no fun at all. But I genuinely appreciate it.
I love you very much. And I would not a lot of people I would get up at 5:45 in the morning for. You're definitely one of them.
Oh,
and now I've had cheese cigarettes and a cup of coffee with a little Bailey's whiskey. And you know what's coming next? So,
yeah, I know.
Let's go both. Yeah, hit the bowl.
Enjoy. Stay right there. Hold up. Oh, what a good dude.